Welcome back to Raisin Brand, the official Pixel Labs podcast, where we talk about creative and marketing and how the two come together to build brands. Our goal with this podcast is to use our own experiences, along with that of our guests, to give you a little insight into how you can improve your brand or grow your skills in your marketing career. So it's been a minute since we've recorded a podcast, and Noah's been getting on me to make sure that we get these recorded. So we had the opportunity. I have to set the space up for a live stream that we have tomorrow. So I was like, Aaron, let's do this in person if you're up for it, because it's been a while. We haven't seen each other. We haven't talked for a while.
A day.
It's been more than a day.
In person, or you just mean just like at
all.
Chatting?
I just don't feel like we've talked at all for a while.
Ouch. Yeah.
So, you're right.
Chatting, it's been a day. Talking, yeah, it's been a bit.
But yeah, so I'm excited because you brought the topic up for today, and it's something that's super relevant right now, because as we start to, everyone's starting to get their vaccines, people are starting to go back to normal, people are going to start looking at what their new marketing strategies are, just like they did a year ago when they had to shift everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the point that you brought up is, what about all the data in the research that's happened before COVID, and what does that data mean? So can you tell, just give me a little bit of background behind why this kind of topic came up for you.
Oh, love this. I'm so excited. And so, yeah, the topic is data. So I guess just the very, very blunt statement is data recorded before COVID is basically irrelevant.
Like irrelevant.
Totally irrelevant. Did I not enunciate? Irrelevant.
Yeah.
Not irrelevant. Useful, not helpful, useless. Nothing at all. Yeah, useless. Awesome. And where this came up was, I was in a meeting with a service provider, a marketing organization, who was talking about some of the different stuff that they do. And it occurred to me through that conversation, like, when was this recorded? Because obviously, times are very different now than they were even a year ago. And I actually found out the data was like from 3 years ago, which is just like not helpful. So it's just amazing. I mean, we've just seen this total digitalization, virtualization of about everything in the last year and a half. And so it occurred to me that really a lot of this stuff, a lot of the trends and themes, you know, when we look at them a year and a half, 2 years ago, you know, they're probably somewhat close, but I just think totally missing the mark of what people need to be focusing on. And I just think it's something that, you know, needs to be talked about a little bit. And so that's where the idea came from, was just this realization that, man, some people are just totally missing what's going on, the changes that have been going on. And I'm just really excited for this conversation, because it's a total just mind shift, and it's just a total conversation of, you know, the importance of branding and sending out your message, understanding what's the importance of your messaging. Am I moving around too much? I get excited, man. This is like the stuff that I get excited about. But no, so first and foremost, I guess I just, my first thought is just the importance of like setting the scale of just understanding how important this is. And so, you know,
well, that's what I was going to ask, is like, how big of a deal is this across the board? Like, what things are going to get,
yeah,
what things are going to be impacted by it?
I hate to say just everything, but it's like, it's just everything.
Okay, if you could break it down to a few things, like what are the biggest things at the top of your mind?
Great question.
That are going to be the most impacted by this misinformation, really, is what it's going to be.
Great question. So first, the biggest one and the most important one is consumer behavior. That's the first focus point that I want to talk about. And you can kind of break it down even beyond that. But consumer behavior in how people interact with brands, you know, how they shop, how they, you know, look for stuff online. I mean, it's all online. That's the first one. But then also what's interesting about that is the next part is spending habits. So when you look at these folks, they shop differently. They shop more so online, but also we've kind of entered this, it's not a recession. It's, you know, really the economy is doing well, and it's been doing well for a number of years, but you have this mindset where folks are actually, you know, there's kind of this uncertainty, and even though things are trending a little bit better, you still have this uncertainty. So people are saving a little bit more money. They're being a little bit more cautious about what they're spending money on. And so that's an interesting part of this as well. And then the last is, you know, and we've seen this over time, especially just in recent years, is folks are buying and making buying decisions based on what the products or the services believe. So like what their, you know, are they supportive of current events and trends and what's going on in the, you know, are they, I'm trying to think of like a good example. Are they advocating for human rights? Are they supporting, you know, things that are going on that are, you know, issues that are affecting people in everyday life? Like,
right. And that's what I was going to say is it's not, in the last year, it's not just COVID that's changed.
Right.
Like there's a lot of human rights and
right.
political and human things that have changed
right.
the entire landscape of of what's acceptable for a company to market with.
Right.
Or promote their brand towards.
Right.
And so, yeah, like I can't agree more that like everything that's happened, it takes all the data that was recorded before this, and anyone that said one thing 2 years ago, they could have a complete opposite opinion with everything that surfaced over the last year. Like
right.
all that data is kind of it's kind of useless.
Right, right. And man, I just think there's so many different ways you can look at this and talk about this, and this could probably be its own podcast series about, you know, how do you address this? Do you talk about right. consumer behavior for a 10 podcast series? I'm sure you could.
Right.
Do you talk about spending habits?
Well, there's consumer behavior in so many different sectors of business, too.
Like right.
the way people work with service providers versus products, like the way they interact with them is very different. So there's different types of consumer behavior, too.
Right. Right. And it's just, it's truly interesting. And also, and so kind of this point, just with how much change there is, I found this article by McKinsey and Company that really illustrates this well. And I think we can have some fun talking about this. The article's titled, "We Have Covered a Decade in Days When It Comes to the Adoption of Digital." And so this is just one focus point of this conversation, is just the adoption of digital. Again, there's a ton of different things we could talk about: the change in consumer behavior, how fast that's changed, spending habits, how much that's changed. But just a couple key points that I thought were, or a couple of key things that I drew out from the article that were just mind-boggling. And so these two, one of them is Disney Plus achieved, and actually just, this is kind of just a funny little bit. So achieved in this article was spelled wrong. And so I just want to encourage all of the marketers out there that even McKinsey and Company spells stuff wrong. So just a little bit of grace for everybody, because I spell things wrong from time to time.
Achieve's that hard one.
It is the EI. IE.
Yeah.
You switch those around, yeah. So
I see a lot of people spell it as archive as well. Like it gets,
really?
They misspell it just enough that it autocorrects to archive.
Interesting.
And I'm like, I guess I can see that.
So. Yeah. Well, hey, small note in the message, have some grace with yourself. We all messed up. Even McKinsey Company, who was a very large company.
The point was made.
We're here.
You knew what it was trying to say.
Well, right, right. But again, I just wanted to emphasize that
yeah.
for a second. But okay, so we have covered a decade in, Disney Plus achieved in 2 months what it took Netflix 7 years. We're talking about growth, engagement, user base, viewership. Amazing. Like,
what contributed to that?
It was just attention. It was just what folks were, it was the time that they had, the want to be able to consume some of this content and the right platform that was there for them to consume it. I mean, Disney, think about all the wonderful, especially at the beginning of COVID when folks were home. Like, did you watch those old Disney movies as a child growing up through time?
Yeah. Like Sam had all of them.
Yeah, it was comfort. That's what folks were looking for. And it just provided this comfort, this familiarity in this time that was just totally different and just earth-shattering.
Well, and it wasn't a replacement for the theater, but they adapted their movie releases to being these bigger events on
right.
a streaming platform when people couldn't go to theaters.
Right.
So instead of... Now, they didn't do it with every movie, but they tested on the certain movies to see how it worked, and I'm guessing it did pretty well since they're still doing it.
Right,
so
right.
they adapted to that situation, which is huge.
Right, well, and it's hard to know. I'm sure that probably would have been impossible to predict. I mean, I'm sure they weren't sitting back in their offices being like, oh yeah, we'll tackle this in 2 months and overtake Netflix, but I just think right content, right time, right place, people were ready for that. Just amazing. And then the other point that I pulled out from that article was, I'm trying to think of the best way to set this up just to communicate the impact. But So think about, you know, e-commerce and you buying things online, delivered to your house. I mean, we've done that for a number of years, Amazon, you know, eBay, et cetera. So, man, I really want to get this right. In 8 weeks, there was the same, in 8 weeks, the growth realized in deliveries of e-commerce sales, Amazon, eBay, et cetera, in that 8 weeks, the growth that was realized in that 8 weeks was what was projected for 10 years.
Whoa.
So you think about 10 years of what people thought would happen in terms of, you know, deliveries at your home. People talked about, oh, drones are going to deliver to my house. I don't think that's necessarily happened yet, but they talk about what would have happened over the next 10 years in terms of amount and volume happened in 8 weeks. Like, that's how fast this can change. And that just blew my mind. I mean, we get back to consumer behavior.
I was gonna say, that goes back to the consumer behavior. It was driven a lot by that, which it goes back to what you said. Like, data and research said that it was going to take 10 years to get there.
Right.
And it took 8 weeks. So all that data and research related to that 10-year mark, irrelevant.
Right.
We're past it.
You know how fast that is in just the scheme of things? That fast, like, yeah. Done. I also just learned how to snap, so I have to flex that for
everybody. Do that one.
I can't do my left hand. Right hand, we're solid. Left hand, nothing. But 8 weeks, like, that goes by like nothing.
That's insane. Like, it's... I want to talk about that consumer behavior side of it, because, I mean, I know I personally have my own behaviors that I've changed based on how serious businesses took COVID.
Right.
Or how much a business was willing to support human rights.
Right.
So I have opinions on which businesses I will do business with as a consumer now that these things have changed. And I mean, these are businesses I've done business with a lot. And because they didn't react or take things as seriously as what I felt they should have, I won't work with them anymore. I won't do business with them anymore. So those types of consumer behaviors, that's not just me. That's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so the way that, and like you said earlier, there's a lot of different directions you can go with consumer behavior, just from how people interact with buying everything online now. Like, if a store does not have an e-commerce part of their store, even Main Street businesses need e-commerce now. Okay. And if they don't, they're not gonna last. And so, like, those types of consumer behaviors, but there's so many different places. that part of it is, I think, probably out of the points you have there, that's my biggest takeaway from the conversations that we've had about this, because that is what I feel like changes the most when you look at the data and the research.
Right. Well, here's the deal. I mean, you break down all of these different things. You know, you talk about, you know, what businesses support, how they operate. And, you know, so you talked about, like, there's businesses that you will support and there's businesses that you won't support. And I think the differentiator is, through this time, did the business have their consumer in mind first, before themselves? Did they have their consumer in mind? I mean, you can sit on any side of this argument of where you are on this or that, and you can have your beliefs. But if you project those over your consumer rather than take into account what your consumer might believe, I mean, you're going to miss out, and it's ultimately going to turn people away. And I just think that's what's so important, is how can you allow a consumer, you know, whether they're at home or whether they want to come into your store, how can you allow them to feel comfortable? How can you communicate your values in a way that, you know, they receive well, and so you can move forward? And I just think, you know, going back to consumer behavior, what you believe, what your consumers believe, I just think that's at the core of everything. And I just think businesses, it's unfortunate businesses have closed during this time. Right. And I just think sometimes it's because they missed the mark on that.
So this is where we tie this back to brand and in what we've always believed in. So many times brands forget that their consumers are the most important thing.
Right.
And they focus on sales, they focus on money, they don't focus on what it means for their consumer. And I think over the last year, we've learned which ones either realized that and made the shift, always did it that way, or chose not to ever worry about that. Because the third are the ones that are closing.
Right.
And they're the ones going out of business, because, like we've always said about brand and taking care of your customers, is if you are always there for your customers, if you're doing everything you can to make your customer's experience good and help them, even if they're not necessarily a customer at this time, when it's time for them to make a purchase, they'll think of you first. Right. They'll remember that you did that good thing for them. They'll remember that you gave to those charities. They'll know these things when it's time to spend their money. And that's what happened over COVID, is that when it came down to spending money, and this kind of goes into your second point of like spending habits, right? When it came down to spending money, they were much more thoughtful of where they spent the money. And obviously there's a lot of support for local businesses at that point, because they're the ones that were hurting the most. Bigger stores, they were obviously hurting, but there's a lot more cushion there,
mm-hmm.
financially. Smaller businesses don't have that cushion. And so everyone kind of rallied and helped small businesses. But not all of those small businesses understood what was happening and how important it was for them to be there for those consumers. And those are the ones that started going out of business.
Right, right. So it's interesting. So I just have a couple points to that. You know, I think of, you know, in our own community, there were businesses who had record years because they had that. They had that relationship, the branding. They made the process easy. They made it touchless, safe for folks to get food, get items. But then the second part is, you know, with the idea of data being relevant, it's just so important to keep ongoing touch or keep in touch on an ongoing basis with consumers. You know, just, you know, whether it's just, you know, what you send out, just, you know, understanding what they want or what they're looking for from you. I just, you know, and we've, this is a separate podcast for a separate day, but with some of the changes that, you know, iOS, Apple is making, I mean, you're now going to be more responsible for your own data, understanding what your own consumers want, need, you know, how that changes over time. And actually something that I've spoke about, there was just a conference recently, but talking about that, you know, people make, you know, previously, and I think within the last, this has changed a little bit kind of naturally, but especially through this COVID season is, you know, the marketing timeline, as you look at your marketing plans, that timeline has shortened. I mean, you don't plan for a year anymore. Yep. I mean, I think that's just almost out of the question. I think, man, 3 months, 6 months at the absolute max is what you're looking at. You can have an idea for where you're wanting to be, you know, what channels you're wanting to be in, because I don't think those would shift as much to that time. Right. But the message, I mean, you're almost daily needing to make sure that you're still on message, because a word you might use or a phrase you might use, it might be out of touch. Like, yep. It's just so important that you can't just rely on what some of these old indicators or, you know, people will tell you what the best phrases are over time. That's almost all irrelevant. And I just think being in touch with your audience, you know, just understanding what they're looking for, what messaging is working, that's just something that has to be looked at on an ongoing basis. And how does that ultimately tie back to your brand? Does it support a brand that supports its customers first and foremost?
Right.
I just think those are questions you always have to ask. Even if it's COVID or not, who knows?
So. Right. And yeah, the thing that I would add to that is the challenge that people are going to have now is they have no data to lean on.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do they do now? Like, how do they move forward if they don't have any of this data? And my first thought is start to gather your own data.
Right.
Like, if you have a customer base already, if you have an existing email list, maybe reach out to them and just say, hey, how can we as a company be there for you more?
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking for in a company like us? And get that data yourself. Because if you do that, you own the data, you have it now, and then instead of relying on data that's taken every 2 or 3 years, ask them regularly, ask them every 6 months, how are we doing? Because then you're gonna get that feedback from them that, yeah, not everyone on your list is gonna respond, but if you get 10%, 15% of your user base to give you some feedback, you should have some good data points to follow. And if you don't know how to do it yourself, there's companies that can help you do it.
Right.
And so I think that that's where people are gonna have, not people, but companies are gonna have to step in and do a lot of this research themselves, rather than relying on national or global research that is potentially a little bit too broad to help these smaller businesses be more effective.
Right, and the point that I'd add on that too is, you know, when you ask your audience or your consumers, what can I do to be better? I mean, you're putting them in the center, in the spotlight. And if you're inviting them into your story, you know, to say, if you're inviting them in to have input, that's just a relationship building piece. It's not like a sign of weakness or, I mean, anything like that. It's just, you know, how can I be better for you? That's what we're communicating. And then you get data from it and you're communicating this to your consumer. And I just think that's so valuable and you get good insights at the end of the day. And also the other thing that I would add is, you know, that 10%, those folks, I mean, those are your folks who are highly engaged.
Right.
So those are the folks that are going to be, you know, who are paying attention to what you send them.
If they take that 5 minutes to give you the feedback, they care.
Right. Right. And so it just shows you, you know, these folks are interested in what you have going on. And so those are going to be ones that you're going to want to prioritize moving forward of how can we continue to serve them. And so ultimately we can have those relationships through time.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to change forever the way that companies do marketing.
Right.
And how they structure the story of their brand.
Right.
Because no longer is it just about your products. Because for the most part, every product and service is commoditized.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone can figure out how to do some sort of service. Everyone can figure out how to get a product from Alibaba and sell it on Amazon.
Right.
Like it's not that hard to do it with a few days of research. Like, and we've seen that over the course of the last year, a lot of little shops popped up that just started doing reselling and stuff like that, which is fine. But it just showed and accelerated how much of a commodity all of these services and businesses are, which eliminates that as your value prop.
Mm-hmm.
No longer is your service or product a value prop. The way you treat your customers is.
Right.
So the experience that you give your customers is the value prop.
Right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And I just think about, it's an interesting, I don't know if paradox is the right word, between like brand and how long-term focus that is, like continued supporting customers, consumers, vision, mission, all that good stuff, versus being agile and adjusting with what that means. So if you're consumer-centric and all of a sudden we have a pandemic, you know, how does your, you know, experience with the consumer, if you're, you know, if you're having them walk in store, that has to be different.
Right.
And so how does that change over time? And I just think it's just interesting because you have to have this long-term plan mission of how you're ultimately going to encourage, support, you know, serve your customer. But how are you going to be able to adjust day by day to live that mission, vision, brand out? It's just a very intriguing mix of having this long-term plan that then you can filter these short-term decisions in. So ultimately you're effective.
I think it comes down to consistent data collection from your users.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you're going to be able to know what to do is getting that data from your consumers that are using your brand. Because it goes back to what I was saying, like broad data is not going to be super relevant anymore, especially stuff that was all gathered before last year.
Right.
Which is the whole point of this conversation is that data is irrelevant. And now we need to figure out how do we get that for ourselves? Like that's all data collection that's going to have to happen at the company level.
Right, right. Well, I just think about so many times companies, you know, even if they're not marketing organizations, they look online, they find articles that say, you know, 3-minute YouTube videos are the way to go. That's the answer. And so they make them, but it isn't right for them. And just, you know, out of touch that even is by itself.
Right.
But then when you think about now the context has changed because of the season.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing. And so that just goes to prove, I just think of I was just working with somebody who, they're going to start a TikTok series to target local college students to stay in their community. And so I have a number of questions like, okay, you're gonna make TikTok videos. That's, I mean, a good platform to be on. How are you gonna make sure your local people see that?
Right. Because TikTok's such a wide range reach, right?
Well, yeah, who knows? Hope, I don't know, hope. And so I just think if you're not having it, I mean, if you're not thinking about this from a consumer, customer, audience member, viewer, whatever, centric point, I mean, you're gonna miss this. So somebody, I think, at that organization heard, oh, TikTok, that's where we need to be. Like, that's college students are on TikTok. Okay, maybe. You're probably right. Like, it does skew younger. But I just think, man, the importance of branding is just understanding that you have some, you know, you have what you think is important. But if you don't communicate that in a way that the audience would understand it or it would be meaningful, it's just going to be a miss. And ultimately, you waste money. And that's
absolutely.
Just... And that's killer, especially to these small businesses. We talked about Main Street, and unfortunately some had to close during this time, which sucks. I mean, you think about communities. I'm very passionate about communities, and the Main Street businesses, the smaller shops, like that's what gives communities these, the local flair.
Yep.
I mean, love Walmart, love Target, you know, love Best Buy, but everybody has them. I mean, but you don't have those local shops that add this unique identity.
Yep.
And if those go away, I mean, we're all basically in the same spot.
Yeah. There's no reason to go to the different locations if everyone has the chains.
Well, right. I mean, you take a stroll down Main Street and it's so sad. I come from a small town and you walk down Main Street, it's just like, oh, that's still empty. Oh, that's still empty. And that's, mm-hmm. and that's hard because it is a smaller community and, you know, just through time that's changed. But yeah, I just, again, if you're looking online for some of these data points, I just think, through COVID, it's changed so much, but I just think even moving forward, it's just going to change quicker and quicker. I can't remember who said this, but they talked about that the window of fame is just getting shorter. So like you might be doing the right thing in that moment and you get a lot of views, engagement, but now you're in the next moment and it doesn't work anymore.
And you don't get to the next moment because you didn't realize that it even changed.
Right. It's just getting quicker and quicker. And I think it's going to get tougher and tougher, especially for smaller organizations with folks that maybe don't have as much experience, you know, and I just think that's going to get very tough. And so if that branding thing isn't just something that you're thinking about, like what this looks like long term, what your values are, so you can adjust. I was going to use the word pivot, but I was just going to leave if I said that word. I feel like I did already, so I don't know if that counts. But yeah, it's just something I think a lot about because it's hard because there's going to be winners and losers. And I don't want there to be losers. We were just talking about how we're both kind of softies and empathetic and we don't want people to have like a hard time, but it's just, right. It's the name of the game and it's going to be tough for many.
I want to back up. You made a comment about like the whole like data point of 3-minute videos being the thing. Is that actually like, we had a recent example of this where it's something that anyone that puts out video content can collect this data themselves. You can, if you post videos on YouTube or Facebook or really anywhere that tracks the length of engagement with your videos, you can collect your own data about how long your videos should be.
Right.
And we've put out a few different videos for this client that have done really well in their launder videos. We recently had a video that went from being a 3-minute video, which was the original goal, that have done really well, to the story couldn't be told in less than 15 minutes. And we went, if we trim out 12 minutes of this content, the story's not going to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we posted it with, I think it was like 14:30 or something was the ending, the length, right?
Yeah.
In the first like 7 hours of it, it had 1,400 views, like 12 shares, I think 13 or 14 comments on it within like the first 7 or 8 hours. Like it did well. People watched the whole thing. And people commented about parts of the story that were told throughout the entire thing. It wasn't like they just watched a little bit and just like gave some props to like, hey, nice video. Right. They watched the whole thing, a 15-minute video. They took 1/4 of an hour of their day and watched this video for this brand.
Mm-hmm.
Because this brand has created a message of caring about the community and being there for the community. And that is why people are engaging and contributing and being part of their brand so heavy.
Right.
And that's why we were able to put out a 15-minute video and have a good engagement on it. Like,
well, I just think good.
So the whole point of it was length of the video doesn't matter if you know what the data is that your customers will engage with.
Right.
Well, you have to find that data yourself.
Right. Well, so the thing off of that is good content is good content is good content. I just, right. It's just so, so important that, you know, what's being put out is just done well, you know, and even, I don't think it has to be done. I think a lot of folks don't realize, I hate to say that the standard has dropped during COVID or, you know, anything like the expectation has dropped, but I just think that people just want real. Like they just want to be able to communicate, see what brands are about, see what their story is, be a part of it. I think that's very important, is being part of that story.
Now, I think that's something that people have always wanted. They didn't understand what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like even before the last year, companies that did a good job of connecting with their customers on a human level like that were doing well. But because there weren't the other challenges that were happening in society and all everything that was going on in the last year, the brands that weren't doing it as well didn't notice the difference quite as much. They didn't understand how important that was, even though the consumers themselves did care about it.
Right.
It was once it became the thing that separated the businesses that those businesses started to realize how important that was.
Right. Well, I mean, behavior changed, spending changed, and so now it's, those companies that they weren't as sure about fell off. I mean, they're not interested anymore. Man, I had a thought. I can't remember what it was. I was going to go somewhere with that, but no, it's just, again, it's just so important. I just think the whole idea of this is just remembering that, you know, while you're centric to what you're doing, I mean, ultimately you have to make money at the end of the day. If you're not keeping that consumer in mind, oh, I remember, I was reading a book, and it talked about, you know, storytelling and how do you communicate a story to your customer, to your consumer. And the part that hit me was, you know, you can tell your story and, you know, engage people with what you have going on, but oftentimes, and you can do a really good job, I mean, you can tell really good stories, but the part that really can make a difference is, are you making yourself the hero or your consumer the hero in that story? And it talked about just countless examples of, you know, when this message was flipped. I mean, you can do a really good job storytelling about, you know, your come up, you know, your claim to fame, you know, how was just this process, and that's really exciting and people can be encouraged by it. But if you can flip that towards the consumer being that hero, that center of the story, because it's interesting. I mean, at the end of the day, everybody has bills to pay. They have, you know, people to support, whether it's themselves or others. They have their own fears, ambitions, goals, dreams. If you can make them feel like they're the center of the universe, working towards those things and tie your brand into it, man, oh man, the opportunity that can come of it. So powerful. It's just huge. I mean, huge. It talked about examples of, you know, we were just talking about a newsletter today about, you know, how effective that can be. And it talked about, I can't tell you how many examples it was, but like the difference between campaign A and campaign B where the messaging was flipped and it was just like 10 times the amount of sales just by email copy.
Right.
Focused on that.
Do you want to understand why that email conversation is so exciting for us?
Well, yeah, I'm excited.
Because it's exactly related to this. This was sent out to over 10,000 cold emails.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. We linked the product, obviously, because like you kind of have to know where the email is coming from. The emails were all about how their consumers can adjust during COVID or during these, because their customers are very heavily involved in being community centric and having in-person events. They can't do that right now, not in the way that they were. So the emails were all based around, the first one was based around tips for how they can get involved with the community during COVID. And the second one was a background story of how they even became a company that supported the industry the way it is. Those are the two emails out of a 5-email series. And the company we're doing this for has already made their money back on what they've put into this project.
Love it.
Because it wasn't about their product. We haven't once said, this is our product and this is what it is. We said, here's how we can,
right.
Here's how you can, as an organization,
right.
engage with your community better at this point with what you have available. If our product can help you with that, here's a link to what we do.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, take this advice and go out and try to engage with your community.
Right.
And that's what the emails are about. And so far, it's turned out well, and we still have 3 more emails in that series to finish up. So
it's all green, baby. We're in the green at this point. I love that. I just love.
But it was all consumer centric.
Right. Right. Well, and again, going back to that point, it's just so interesting, because you can tell somebody how great your product is, what your name is and stuff, but like, who cares? I mean, especially if it's a cold email, like who really cares at that point?
Right.
Okay. I can't tell you how many emails that I get. I looked at the subject line, probably not important. You know what I mean? Like hundreds a day. And it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. But it's just so interesting. And I really wish I could plug the book, and I can't remember what it's called right now, but, it talked about like, if you're not helping your consumer, you know, achieve their goals, find love, make more money, save more time, you know, increase their effectiveness. Like,
you're talking about StoryBrand.
That's what it is. Who writes that?
I can't think of his name right now.
Man, we're doing Don this guy a disservice. I couldn't tell you, but yes, StoryBrand. Have you read that before? Don,
I listened to the audiobook.
You know, and I probably should do that, because
the odd thing is Noah and I, on the way to Kansas City and back, listened to the audiobook.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm literally reading it right now. I'm also terrible at reading, so it's taking forever.
Audiobook makes it a lot easier.
I've watched 3 YouTube videos summarizing it. I feel like I have the gist, but I don't know. I want to read a book. I haven't for a while.
I can't focus long enough to read, but that's a whole different topic.
No, that's okay.
But that's the book you're talking about, because...
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, again, it goes back to this idea of branding being consumer-centric, that if it's not supporting some of these... And, you know, and I think you... I think the important thing is your product can do these things, but if you're not thinking of it in that way, again, it's missing the mark.
Yep.
And I just think that's another point about how important it is to communicate with your audience members, because I can't tell you how many times I've heard how important it is. Like, you know, you might think your product can be used this way, but maybe there's something else that it can be used for that you haven't identified that. We could dive into so many different things on this topic. It's ridiculous.
You know, I think the whole point of this podcast episode was to talk about how data's changed.
Right.
And yes, there's a ton of different spaces we can go to talk about this. I think the primary point is you can't trust data that was captured before the last year.
Especially if it's not yours.
Especially if it's broad,
right,
broad data. You need to go out and start getting that data gathered yourself, based on the consumers that are engaging with your business. Because once you have that data yourself, you can start to adjust what you do in marketing to better serve your consumers.
Right. And it's not like I don't know why I feel like I need to make this point, but it's not like asking them what product you need to push them. It's not that. It's what they believe, what they feel, what they're thinking about, what's important to them.
Right.
If you're offering sporting equipment, it's not, you know, asking them which color they like the best in a soccer ball or anything. I mean, it's not anything like that.
It's not about the product,
right,
that you're getting feedback on. It's
right,
how you as a brand can better align with their values.
Right. And that, I just think what's so important about that is that outlasts the color of a soccer ball. That's important this time of year. I mean, and I think I told you, I spoke at the conference I mentioned earlier, and I was talking about branding, and I felt that, like, I missed the mark, because the idea was to communicate strategic communications that provide value. And so for me, it's like, okay, how can I talk about this lens that you can look through that will last you years?
So do you feel like you missed the mark a little bit because maybe you didn't understand exactly what the audience was looking for going into it?
So I think that was part of it. I also think that... And I also, like, I tend to think if something doesn't go well, it's my fault. So I'm also, like, trying to, like, what did I do wrong?
Well, you told me you had some people reach out afterwards, so...
And I actually had an email today about...
You connected...
Right.
My feeling is if you connect and are able to make an impact on just one organization or one business in spending an hour talking with them, you've done something good.
Oh, I appreciate that.
So...
I appreciate that.
I think about that when I speak at classes about video production and marketing and stuff like that, is, like, if I have one student follow up with me and ask me a follow-up question, it means I had some sort of impact. Which reminds me, I have an email to respond to from someone that I spoke to recently. So
no, good. But
that totally makes sense. Like, continue what you're saying, but
no, it's just if you can set yourself up with engaging in a conversation that'll benefit you over years rather than understanding this one minute thing, because I think the expectation was for the audience of that specific talk or session was, I'm going to come in and say 2-minute videos, TikTok. Like, it's going to be these very specific, like, this is what you need to do, but that's not going to provide anybody any value, and they can watch a YouTube video and get the same content for right, free. Like, they didn't pay for that.
So, and you mentioned this whole thing to me shortly after you did this talk, and the point that we were talking about too is that tactical things require context too.
Right.
Not every organization is even capable of all of those tactical things.
Right.
And so when you speak more about the overall kind of the higher level things that they could be doing as an organization, those are things that they can start implementing a little bit easier than saying you should be doing 2 TikToks a day. Well, maybe they don't know how to do TikTok. They may not have the ability to do that.
Right.
And so when you get tactical, it's tough when you get tactical because it requires specialties versus higher level things that people can do just by doing some research.
Right.
I feel like we keep getting on this data conversation, and then we like skew a little bit.
I know. I keep feeling like we probably need to wrap it up. It all relates to data, though.
Good stuff. It all relates to the data part, because you need to understand the data about your customers before you can do any of this stuff. And I think that's the main point is ignore old data, find your new data yourself, and start building off that data, so that you can start to build a closer relationship with your customers.
Right. And I just think my last thing that I'll mention is you might be doing a great job with what's going on now, but what if you could be doing you could be doing a really good job with what you're doing right now, but what if you could be doing a great job and you just don't know? Right. I just think that if you don't have that open line of communication, you'll be missing opportunities.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much to everyone for listening today. Be sure to hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening to the Raisin Brand podcast on, so you can get notified when new episodes go live. Be sure to check out the show Raisin Brand After Hours, where we take a closer look into the entertainment industry. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, or you have a topic you'd like us to talk about, let us know by emailing podcast@thepixellab.co. Again, that's podcast@thepixellab.co. Thank you again, and have a great week. Thanks so much to everyone for listening today. Be sure to hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening to the Raisin Brand podcast on, so you can get notified when new episodes go live. Be sure to check out the show Raisin Brand After Hours, where we take a closer look into the entertainment industry. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, or you have a topic you'd like us to talk about, let us know by emailing podcast@thepixellab.co. Again, that's podcast@thepixellab.co. Thank you again, and have a great week.